Well, I'm so grateful that you're here and a part of this Lord's Day gathering in worship and the privilege of thinking about the wonder of our great God. We're involved in a new series of messages this year called Knowing God. And over the last few weeks, we have talked about the God who is on a mission, that we can know this God who is on a mission, the God who creates. And we've been looking and thinking about the splendor and the wonder and the beauty of God's creation. But today we're going to step beyond the first chapter of Genesis and move into the second chapter. And if you have a Bible or a device with you, let me ask that you go ahead and turn there. And we'll be there in just a moment as we gather. I'm just so very thankful for all of you who are here with us in Simmons Hall and for the very unique and wonderful worship venue that this is and has been in the life and the ministry of our church. Whether we are gathering at the 8 o'clock hour or the 11 o'clock hour, this has been and often is a place where I think people meet the Lord in worship and where God moves and works, and I'm thankful for that. Of course, we also have the privilege of sharing this time, this gathering, with our broadcast ministry as well through our Warren A Way of Life broadcast. And almost every week of my life, I hear a testimony, I hear a story of the outreach and the impact of this. And we are so thankful to be able to share and to connect with our community in a very special way through preaching and teaching. And so we're very thankful for this as we gather. But as you hopefully have made your way there to Genesis 2, where we'll read in just a moment, I was just thinking this week, it's hard to believe that we are less than 60 days into the new year, and yet I'm already seeing and meeting people who are really tired of 2019. Are you one of those? I mean, we're less than 60 days into what we call Happy New Year, and all of a sudden we're thinking, hey, what's so happy about this year? It's starting to feel like last year. It's feeling like the same old year, and we're worn, and we're weary, and we're fatigued, and we're exhausted, and we're trying to figure out, wow, how am I going to find all of that's still ahead in the year that is to come? And so much of this is because we live in such an on-demand world. We live in an on-demand world. Everything is on demand. Everything is now. It's present. It's active. It's constant. And we get caught up in the frenzy of all of this and just living in the frenzy of activity. And before we know it, we begin to sense this gnawing weariness, this fatigue that overtakes us. And so today as we gather and we talk about this God that we can know, I am so grateful to pause today and to take time to speak with you and share with you about the God who gives rest. In a restless world, there is a God who gives rest. And I want us to study about this rest as we meet it here in Genesis 2, and frankly, to take the theme and to trace it as we would through various portions of Scripture. Now, the rest that we meet and that we're going to repeat in our study through the Scripture today has to do with a word that you may or may not be familiar with called the Sabbath, or a Sabbath rest. And I want to talk about what that means and what that's about. And I don't know what context you may have for the idea of a Sabbath, but it is something that is very significant. And there's a lot of confusion and uncertainty about it. I guess the place where the greatest realism of a Sabbath that is practiced meets our lives is not so much in the Bible as it is when it's Sunday and you want to go to Chick-fil-A, right? And you're not really sure why they're closed on Sunday. Is it a religious thing? Is it just a courageous thing that they're trying to do as much business in 6 days that other people are trying to do in seven? Or is it just outrageous that every Sunday when you get a craving for Chick-fil-A, you know you have to wait 24 hours? I mean, that's hard. That's about the biggest context that the average person has to any idea of what we might be talking about when we talk about a Sabbath. But I want us to learn about this Sabbath, and I want us to learn about this rest that I think that is so needed in our lives. So the first thing we're going to look at, and the first portion of Scripture we're going to examine, is what we would call the Sabbath rest of creation. The Sabbath rest of creation. Let's begin reading in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he" what? What is the next word? "He rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all of the work that he had done in creation." Now, you go back to Genesis 1 and you're looking at a very active passage of Scripture. Over and over we meet the phrase, "God said and God saw. God said and God saw. God said and God saw." He said it, it happened, he saw it, and he said it is good. And so there's this cycle that is going on of God creating everything out of nothing and the wonder of creation. And yet, at the end of all of this, after 6 days and after God made everything in the heavens and the earth and the seas and the stars and all the creatures and all the plants and put people on this planet, the Bible says on the seventh day God rested. Now, what in the world does that mean? Did God get tired? Was God just worn out? I mean, he's supposed to be all powerful. He's supposed to be capable and all sufficient in all things. What in the world is the Bible talking about when it says that God rested? Well, please note the Scripture carefully. It does not say that God needed to rest. Did you notice that? It didn't say God did all of this and then he needed a rest. Sort of like you and me when we've been in the midst of a busy, active day and there's that moment where we just sort of, "Oh, I need some rest." That's not at all what's indicated here. It's not that God needed rest, it's just that God rested. That God stopped, that God paused. And in order for us to understand this, all we have to do is go back and read carefully the first two verses. It says, "When the heavens and the earth were finished," and then the second verse says, "And when he had finished all the work that he had done." God was finished. God had completed. God was done with what needed to be done in creation. And in this moment, God stopped. God Sabbathed. He rested. He paused in the midst of creation. Now, yesterday, inspired by some of the recent warm weather, I decided to get out and plant some flowers. I planted over 160 little plant pods yesterday. And boy, I'm feeling it back here today, too. But I can tell you that when I finished planting all those little plants, I needed to rest, and I went in and sat down, flipped out the recliner on the place where I was sitting there. But let me just say that God never needs a lazy boy. God doesn't need a lazy boy. When God rested, when God paused, it's very much like what happens in an incredible piece of music. When it's playing and there's this crescendo and it all builds up to it. I'll never forget the first time that I saw The Phantom of the Opera, that incredible piece that was composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber. And there's all this big music and big song, and then you go to it and it's building and building and building. And then at the very end of the last portion, there's this huge moment and then a pause. And then it just ends quietly. It's incredible. But any kind of piece of music can be impacted and affected by a pause. It's not that there needed to be something there. There needed to be nothing there. It's sort of like, too, if you're in the kitchen and you're cooking and you're putting the ingredients together and you're tasting and you're tasting, and finally there comes that moment where you say, "That's it. That's it. We're done. That's it. We need to serve it just like this. If we put any more of anything, we're going to mess it up. That's it." And in very much the same way, that's what the Scripture is saying here, is that God is a God who created everything and then he rested. He finished. It was complete and he stepped back from it. I love the way that Leon Morris says it in his commentary. He said there was nothing to add to what God had done. And he entered a rest from creating, a rest marked by the knowledge that everything he had made was very good. So we should think of the rest as something like the satisfaction that comes from accomplishment, for the completion of a task, from the exercise of creativity. And notice what the Scripture says here in verse 3.
Look again in Genesis 2 and verse 3. You remember every time God said and God saw what he made, it said it was good. And then in verse 31 of chapter 1, it says it was very good. But then it says, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. God didn't look at this day and say, this is a good day. God looked at this day and he made it holy. And by making it holy, he was setting it apart. It was a day to celebrate and to rejoice in the completion of the active work of creation. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about the Sabbath rest of creation. That God stopped, that God ceased, that God paused, that God completed the work of creation. And that's what we see in the book of Genesis. Now, let's quickly fast forward across the book of Genesis and go to the next place, and the place that we most specifically meet the idea of a Sabbath, and that is that we see the Sabbath rest of the law. The Sabbath rest of the law. Turn, if you will, from the book of Genesis to the book of Exodus. That's the very next book in the Bible, from the first book to the second book. And when we get to Exodus chapter 20, we meet a very well-known portion of Scripture. It is well-known as a whole, but maybe not as well-known individually, meaning that not everyone here could list these if I were to ask for them. This is the portion of Scripture where we find the Ten Commandments. God's top ten for life, if you will. And so we find the Ten Commandments that are here. And as we open and as we begin to read the Ten Commandments, we find that the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments are all vertical. They're all related to how we relate to God. That there would be no other God before him, that we would not make an image like him, that we would not take the name of the Lord God in vain. But look at the fourth commandment in Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. Do you see that word there? The Sabbath day, to keep it what? Holy. You remember what it just said back in the book of Genesis? God got to the seventh day and he set it apart. He set it to be holy. So it says here, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or your sojourner who is within the gates. And why do we do this? For in 6 days the Lord did what? Made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he did what on the seventh day? He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. So the Bible says here that for God's people Israel, in the giving of the law, there was one day that was to be set aside as this day for rest, this holy day that they were to stand down and stand aside from all of the activity that had so often dominated their lives. God called for a shutdown. He said, you need to shut down on this day each week. And you need to follow the pattern that I have given to you. And so, as we read through the book of Exodus and as we read through the book of Leviticus, we find emphasis on the nation of Israel practicing the principle of the Sabbath and that there would be a day of rest. In Exodus 16, after they had been brought out of Egypt and being there, God began to provide for them in the wilderness manna to eat. But it said that on the sixth day they were to gather a double portion because they were not to gather on the seventh day. In the book of Leviticus, it tells us that there was a year every 7 years called a Sabbath year where they were not to plant their grains and their crops and they were to let their land lie fallow for 1 year. They were to work it for 6 years and then give it a year off and then work it six more years. And so this was the principle and the pattern that set apart Israel from other people and other cultures and other practices in that day. Now, during the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were a group of teachers among the Jews who began to make the practices and the procedures of the Sabbath day much more rigorous, much more ritualistic. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. And so the Pharisees and other teachers made these extensive lists of the do's and the don'ts that related to the Sabbath. And losing the principle of the Sabbath in all of the practices and procedures of the Sabbath, when Jesus comes on the scene in the New Testament, suddenly one of the places where Jesus caused some of the greatest conflict and some of the greatest tension among the religious people of his day was that he did not follow the Sabbath the way they thought they should follow the Sabbath. And so there were all these things surrounding the life of Jesus and all these disputes about what people could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. Now, of course, the Jews followed the principle of the seventh day that they rested. It was the Sabbath. And you know that even to this day, it is the Jewish custom and tradition to worship on Saturday. But of course, Christians do not follow the Sabbath day, the seventh day that is, in that same way. And why is this? Because the Bible clearly tells us that early Christians would gather on the day of resurrection. What do we commonly refer to as Resurrection Day? It's the day we celebrate what? Easter, right. And so Easter is Resurrection Day. It is the Lord's Day. And so the early church, not following the laws of the Old Testament, but living within the light of the triumph of the finished work of Christ in the New Testament, began to worship on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, and to set that day aside as a time of celebration of the resurrection. So the Saturday celebration was creation. The Sunday celebration is resurrection. It all has to do with the life that God gives and the life that God intends. So having talked about the Sabbath rest of creation and the Sabbath rest of the law, let's just take a minute here and let me pause and talk about the Sabbath rest of daily life. The Sabbath rest of daily life. It's not so much that God was trying to create a tradition and to rule over everything that happens in the time of life for you and me, that we follow the tradition. It was that God was implementing a vital truth given first in His own nature as the Creator and given to us as His created beings. It wasn't just something for ancient history. A Sabbath rest is something that is important to us. Why? Number one, because it is a God-given pattern. Just as God created us where we need to have pauses, where there needs to be completion. And in a world that is always looking for either the next level of perfection or performance or pressure, We constantly buy into this, and instead of following God's pattern in our lives, we create our own patterns that frankly create in us compulsiveness and destructiveness. So God gives us a pattern, and that pattern is a pattern that we need to understand and frankly that we need to honor and pursue in our lives. You say, well, when and how and what's right and what's not? We're not into that discussion yet. Let's just go for the second thing here. And that is that failing to observe a Sabbath is destructive. It is a God-given protective. And God has established the Sabbath principle to keep us from destroying ourselves. Please learn this. All of God's limitations are for your good. Did you know that? Whenever God says, you shall not, thou shalt not, it is always a limitation for your good. I don't know how many times you have had the opportunity of going and driving in the mountains, but I can tell you that if you get into some fairly significant heights in the mountains, something that is very common and customary on mountain roads is that not only are they two-lane roads, but typically there's a guardrail. I don't know about you, but I don't get out and kick the guardrails. I don't get out and despise the fact that there's a guardrail there. Frankly, I understand that guardrail is for my protection. It is to help me to be aware, to keep a safe distance. It's even there that in the event that I should somehow, sort of get out of line, it would be the first opportunity to keep me, to reinforce me and keep me on the roadway. And yet so many people go through life, every time they see a limitation from God, it's like, well, see, there's God. Let's just break through the barrier. It has to do with whatever it may be. It may be your work life, you're compulsive, and you don't want to take a rest. It may have to do with your sex life. Don't let God tell me who I'm to be. We live in a free society. We get to put together and choose how we want our arrangements and relationships to work. It comes to the point of my money. What do I want to do with my money? It's my money. I made this money. I work for this money. And yet, everywhere, over and over in God's Word, He gives us the freedom to enjoy and to benefit and to be blessed by the best that He gives us in life. But at the same time, God gives us limitations to protect us. Wherever God says, thou shall, He's saying, help yourself to happiness. Wherever He says, thou shall not, He's saying, guard yourself against destructiveness. And one of the greatest points of destructiveness in our world is that we live in a world that is so compulsive and so active and so on all the time, the on-demand world that I talked about, that we fail to observe a Sabbath, and the result is burnout and depression and anxiety and high blood pressure and heart disease and strained and broken relationships. We violate the principle of the Sabbath. I heard about a pastor who just was so zealous and so focused and so driven in ministry that he just kept going and going and going and going. And finally one day his wife stopped him and said, honey, I know you love the Lord. I know you're committed to Christ. I know that you have a lot to do. She said, but honey, you have got to take a day off. You need a day off. And he quipped at her, looked at her and said, the devil never takes a day off. And she said, yeah, and you're starting to act just like him. That's exactly what happens in our lives. We become destructive. We become mean. We become hard and evil because we let ourselves live at the compulsiveness of all that we do. I saw this. Someone had revisited the 23rd Psalm and they rewrote it this way. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep desperation. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. And even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done, for my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My inbox overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. I'm telling you, that is the description of where so many people are living in our world today. And it's because over and over and over again, many, many people know nothing of a Sabbath rest. There's a third thing that I would point out to you about the Sabbath rest for our daily lives, and that is we need a Sabbath rest because it resets our focus on God and His work rather than on us and our work. We need time to pull away, to refocus, to look to the Lord, to have a pause in life that helps us to learn the waltz of life between work and worship, and the need to make time and take time to rest and to worship and to seek the Lord and to trust in the Lord. It is in keeping a Sabbath that reminds us that God is the creator and the provider, and that everything that we need, He gives to those who look to Him. Psalm 46:10 says this so well. Well, let me go back to read the first verse of that chapter. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then in verse 10 it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Selah is a word that means stop and think about that. Stop and think about that. Be still and know that I am God. We all need to release the grip that we so often have on life. You ever tried to just clench your fist and just keep clenching and keep clenching and just keep clenching and just tighten it and tighten it and tighten it and you hold it and you hold it, but there comes a point where you just can't hold on anymore. And yet many of us live our lives with our fist clenched. And we're trying so hard to hold on and stay in and hang out and make it through. And yet the reality is that we need to release our control from our hands and to put our lives in the hands of God. That is, by the way, the Chick-fil-A story. Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, was a strong, devoted, dedicated Christian man who went through some horrific tragedies in his efforts to build business in his life. You can read his story. But one of the things that Truett Cathy determined and created a pattern for his business was that he could do more with God as a partner if he would work 6 days a week and take a day off than to think that what he could do if he just worked 7 days a week. Now, you can read all about the philosophy and the background of Chick-fil-A. But the issue was not just a religious thing. That is in the sense that we've just got to be closed on Sunday. That wasn't the issue. The issue was not about being closed. This is quoting one of the Cathys. It's not about being closed. It's about time. It's about stewardship. It's about believing that more can be done with less. And of course, I think God honors faith in the lives of people who honor Him. And Truett Cathy started a principle and followed a principle. And today, almost any fast food restaurant struggles to compete with Chick-fil-A, especially on Monday, right? Especially when they open again after Sunday. I mean, it's just incredible what they've been able to do. And again, all of that is a background of the need to learn the importance of the pause. A pause that refreshes, a pause that refocuses, a pause that renews. Well, there's one other aspect of the Sabbath rest that we've got to put together, because again, all of this is connected in the Scripture from Genesis chapter 2 through Exodus. As we move into the New Testament, we continue to see this, and that is that I want us to talk about the Sabbath rest of Christ. The Sabbath rest of Christ. God wants to give people rest. In a world filled with restless human beings, God wants to give people rest. But He wants to give you a rest that is greater than one day a week, or a day to go to church, or just getting some time off so you don't burn out. The rest that God wants to give us is a deep, internal, eternal, pervasive, lasting rest. And this rest is something that we need in our souls toward God, that we might be able to live in balance with others as well. And so the rest that God gives is not a ritual. It's in a relationship. It's not a ritual. And that's where so many people get all messed up on, should it be Saturday? Should it be Sunday? Should we work? Should we not work? What do we do? The principle of rest is to enter into a relationship with God where God dominates my time. And therefore, the priorities of my life are not ordered and arranged by me and my performance and my provision, but by the God who made me, the God who knows me, and the God who has made a way for me to have rest. And this rest is found in Jesus Christ. The rest that you so greatly and desperately desire and need can be found in Jesus. It's not in provisions. It's not in products or procedures or other people. It's in Christ Himself. He is our rest. Listen to what He said in chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me." Who? All you who do what? Labor and are what? Heavy burdened. All of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is distinguishing why he came from all of the religious practices and rigors and traditions. I didn't come to make you a religious performer. I didn't come to bring you into my circus and have you do this trick and that trick and another trick. No, I've come that you might come to me, and that in a relationship with me, the God who created you, the Son who came to recreate you, that you might find and that you might know rest. And the security of my life and the strength of my life is all found when I realize that the rest that I need is the rest that Jesus gives. When Jesus died on the cross, the very final words that he spoke from that cross, blood dripping from his brow from that crown of thorns, a body bruised and beaten, affixed to the cross with nails in his hands and nails on his feet. And in that moment, Jesus bowed his head and said, "It is what? Finished. It is finished." What did God say when he had completed creation, when he had finished everything that he had done? And so when Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, he came on a mission, the mission that began in creation with the God who was on a mission. And that mission, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And he came and he bowed his head and he cried out in that moment, "It is finished." And when Jesus died on that cross, he paid the debt in full for all of my sin, for all of my shame, for my separation from God. He was buried in a tomb, but on the third day he rose again. And hallelujah, I live my life now, not in order to try to perform for God, but to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us rest. That's such a powerful message. That's such an important point of the ministry of Christ. And the rest that your soul longs for is not found in rules, but in a relationship with Christ. And that's what Christianity is about. It is not do this, it is done. And Jesus has paid it all. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, actually 3 and 4, we read about the fact that after the children of Israel had come out of the bondage of slavery, God took them to the edge of the promised land, and God had promised that he was going to give them a new land that was to be their land and their habitation. But when they got there, though God had already promised to make provision to fight the battle for them, to defeat the enemy in front of them, to give them a place of peace and rest, what did they do at the border of the promised land? They balked in unbelief. They chose to not trust God. And they chose to depend upon themselves than rather on the promise and the provision of God. And when we choose unbelief rather than surrender in faith to the Lord, then we cannot know rest. Listen to how the Bible describes it here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as it did to them," that is Israel, "but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united in faith with those who listened." And then it says in verse 4, "For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works." And so we read about this here. And then again, down in verse 9, it says, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." God wants to give us this rest. God wants us to live not in the restlessness and not in all of the rigor of the world, but to know the rest that He gives in Christ. And I just wonder, which word describes your soul? Restless, resting. Restless or resting? I absolutely know that I am speaking to some weary souls today. Some of you are really struggling. Some of you are worn out on work. Some of you are worn out on religion. Some of you are just worn out on life. And what you need more than anything else is a relationship with God that transforms the way you manage and live your daily life. A relationship where in your surrender to Him, you find rest for your weary soul, and where you can experience the peace that comes by refocusing your life on God, who He is, and by living your life under the constraint of a Sabbath rest. A Sabbath rest that has been provided by Jesus Christ. I love these words. I read them to myself often. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord, you could say those who trust in the Lord, those who surrender to the Lord, those who look to the Lord. The idea of waiting is looking to the need or looking to God, just as a waiter or waitress in a restaurant is looking to you, to your needs, to provide for you. For those who wait on the Lord, those who look to the Lord shall renew their strength, and they will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. The idea isn't that resting in the Lord is just dropping out of life. No, it's what gives you power to live life, to be responsible, to engage, to be fruitful, because the strength of your life is not yours. It is the Lord's. And this is the promise of God's rest to all who come to Him by faith and all who trust Him and surrender their lives to Him, the God who gives rest. Father, only You can know what I can't about each person here. But Father, I believe that there are many today who need the refreshment, the refocus, Lord, the restraint, the renewal that can only come by our looking to You and finding strength in You. And so, Father, I pray that You would make this message practical. Practical in the reorganization of our priorities and our schedules, that, Lord, we might honor You and take You at Your word, follow the patterns that You've given us. Not that we may be restrained by the law, but, Lord, that we may be released in life to live to the fullest as You have intended. I thank You for the words of Jesus. I've come that You might have life and have it more abundantly. And God, I just pray for people who are weary and burdened that today they would come to Jesus and they would leave the burden of their struggles, their failure, their sin, their inadequacy. And Father, that they would put their faith and their trust in You. And Lord, that they would find You strong and sufficient and able. God, teach us the principle of Sabbath rest in Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.